Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Everybody, this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I have to tell everybody that because we might have some new listeners, and they'll say, well, who is she really? She's both. Anyways, we have another great show, a more spiritual-oriented, and I love these kinds of shows. But anyways, I wanted to remind everybody about Mystic Living today. I'm sending out reminders, I have been, for the new issue, for January issue, to send your submissions to me. I'll take poetry, articles, excerpts. And because it's called Mystic Living Today doesn't mean it has to be metaphysical. I mean, I've had things in here that are not metaphysical. I mean, it's just got to be done in good taste, of course, and I've never received anything that has not been appropriate. By that I mean, you know, some kind of stuff that somebody's playing a game. Never. Not one time in all the years I've had this, and I started it in 1999. So you know I know the ropes, and you know it just doesn't happen because Natalie doesn't accept it that way. But so you can send anything you like to stars with a Z, cast at mysticlivingtoday.com, and send me an image with it, because people that view the magazine, they like to look at pictures. Don't you like to look at pictures? I do. I mean, yeah, text is good, but, you know, I mean, if you're reading a book, that's fine. But this is a magazine. It's an e-zine. It's an electronic e-zine, a magazine, so that's why it's called an e-zine. But you can get a feeling from all of these things. I mean, I have poets from Japan and China, and people from all over the world, India, the UK, everywhere. And it's so wonderful to get things in my email from these people that I have connected with. Most of them have been on the radio show, not all of them. Sometimes people will just submit to me and say, you know, would you put this in? And sometimes they haven't been on the radio show yet, but they will be. But yet I put their articles in. And the magazine is probably one of the most gratifying to me. It takes a lot of work. I do it all myself. But it gives me such delight. And it comes from within. You know that feeling that you get when you just rise and you say, oh, wow, this is just so wonderful. I mean, it really, really is, because I'm promoting all of these beautiful people that you might not even know exist. You don't even know their work. But if you look at the e-zine, you're going to see that they do. I have featured writers all the time, and I'm really pushing the magazine, because the magazine was always my dark horse, believe it or not. It was that I thought it was going to come from behind. I don't know why, but I always felt that. And, of course, we have stars with a Z, psychics.com. You know, we have the regulars coming in right now. People are very careful with their monies, and I understand that totally. You know, I don't blame, but the regulars are coming in, and that's what's really supporting the site, thank goodness. And so, you know, we always have first-time clients. First 3 minutes are free, and there's a contact place for if you want to contact me about anything, feel free. We have a new site design that's being worked on. Tony is, I'm trying to get him to do this certain background, but, you know, sometimes you have a look that you want, but to relay it to somebody, and he doesn't live far from me, it doesn't matter, but I can't, sometimes it's difficult, right? But anyways, I'm going to get to our guest today. Like I said, it's a spiritual, it is a spiritual show, you know. And you know me, you know how I am, you know how I talk to God every day. He has to listen to me, And my guest was probably smiling about it, thinking, oh, gosh, what does she say? But anyways, I want to introduce my special guest today, and that is Douglas K. Fletcher. How are you, Doug?
Good. It's great to be with you.
Oh, and great to have you. You know, it seems to be that my last, I don't know how many weeks of shows, sometimes I do two, sometimes I do three a week, have been on the level of looking beyond, trying to figure out, trying, and spiritual, and that's a word that you can use for a lot of things. But come to find out, Doug doesn't, I mean, he's from my area. Is that unreal? Now, we never found out. Do you live on Hilton Head right now, Doug?
I do.
Okay. I have a very dear friend who lives in the plantation, Hilton Head Plantation. And when I saw this, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is like old home week. But I'm not originally from here, and neither are you. I'm from Michigan. I'm from Motown and came down here, I don't know how many years ago. But what I want to do is I want to start at the beginning, Doug, of how you decided this is what you wanted to do. You, and we're going to talk about your book, of course. How did you get involved in religion? Get all of it. How? I mean, I was raised a Catholic, but I had no desire to carry on with that. But, I mean, what happened? How did this occur for you? Not that it's a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, my mother had a profound religious experience of just of God's presence that she understood had saved a baby from dying that had been entrusted to her, and the baby was in the hospital, and the baby actually got sick from me because I came down with something later that day, and then the baby was a newborn, and my mother had said, I'll take care of the baby, while the mother had an errand she had to run, and my mother felt responsible for the baby being so sick and near death, and she prayed. She prayed desperate prayers, and the baby after a period in intensive care came out of that and recovered, and my mother felt that God had heard her in a way that maybe she had never really felt from praying sort of standard prayers or prayers that someone had written in a book. And that changed our family's life. She started reading actually Roman Catholic mystics, and she started volunteering at the Salvation Army. We had a Salvation Army wedding of a couple of homeless people at our house, and this was not sort of your leave it to Beaver sort of experience of religion back in the early 60s. But my mother felt like this is what we ought to do, and we started praying in a particular way, falling asleep with a question for God and asking a question and then falling asleep, and then the next morning talking about and trying to interpret our dreams as a space in which God could speak in our life that wasn't so cluttered, where there was maybe the ability for us to listen. So that's a different kind of childhood. We went to Lutheran churches on Sunday mornings. We went to Salvation Army services on Sunday nights, and then we had this life that we lived And every morning I'd come down the stairs and my mother would say, any word from the Lord? And we'd talk about our dreams. And so I came to realize that was not how most people were experiencing religion. A lot of times religion came to be identified more as something institutional and more about what you believe than what you experience. And so there are many people today who describe themselves as spiritual rather than
correct.
Religious.
Yep.
And that's how I grew up. Though we went to church too because we believed that somehow there was a connection. And my mother felt that the things that Jesus taught about caring for the least was something that needed to be attended to, and it was also a part of the mystics, Brother Lawrence and Sister Teresa, and so these were Saint Francis. These were people who helped to shape her understanding, but also to believe that God invites our prayers, and so our part of our job is to listen.
Yeah, and you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm going back into my own life. I like I told you earlier, I was raised a Catholic. I took all the sacraments and all of that, but for some reason, I questioned when I was about 9 years old, and you're going to laugh, and I've told people this before, because when I was in church, and we used to go to Mass every morning before school, but we did it so that we could get a ride to high school, because we'd have to walk in the snow. So there was a method to our madness. But I sat there one day, and I looked at all the walls, and I kept thinking to myself, well, why do I have to talk to God here? I mean, isn't he everywhere? But you see, that was almost, and I hate to say this, like a brainwashing. It was and it wasn't. Because they told you have to go to Mass to talk to God. Well, no, you don't. And I started questioning it. I didn't say anything to anybody. Because I thought, oh, gosh, maybe the wrath would come down on me. But I didn't. No, I didn't do that. I kept it to myself. But I always wonder, the gold this and the gold that, and you had to pay for it. You know, you had to donate and all that kind of stuff. And so I think sometimes that pulled a lot of people away from any kind of religion. You know, like I said, I had all my sacraments and I'm very spiritual. I consider myself to be very spiritual, more so than anybody that I've ever known. And I've had things happen for me and for me. And so I think, like your mother, if you pray and you know you're being heard, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else. And I believe that. And I'm such a believer, Doug, that, I mean, knock me over with something, that I am. And I think, you know, people have to develop their own way. Not everybody is like me. Not everybody is like you. And that's the beauty of the world, sometimes, not only. Sometimes we wish they were more like us. But, yeah, you know, and I never knew the difference between Presbyterian, Catholic, being a Catholic, Lutheran, I did not delve into any of that. I just knew what I was. You were probably the same way.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people will say, well, I want to try this other, you know, I want to see what the Lutheran church is like, and I want to see what this is like, and that is like, I never even thought that ever. It never crossed my mind, because I just thought there was one God, and that was it.
My mother was, I had a dream when I was 11 about being a pastor. And that was a very long time ago. But I'm so glad. So, you know, sometimes our dreams can actually speak mm-hmm. to our sense of who we are and what our life can be. And
correct.
I'm very grateful for that. Actually, you may be amused. We grew up Lutheran. My grandmother was Swedish, and she was a Johnston, and she married an Englishman, a Fletcher. But we lived in Swedesville, outside of Des Moines, Iowa, a little Swedish ghetto, and so we went to Lutheran church every Sunday because that's just what you did. And my older sister was also very influenced by my mother's experience, and she went to seminary, or she wanted to go to seminary, but the Lutheran church wasn't ordaining women. So she went to a non-denominational seminary in Boston, and she fell in love with a Presbyterian student, and they decided to get married. And my mother said, if we're going to have a minister in the family, meaning my brother-in-law, not really thinking, I don't think so much about my sister, but meaning my brother, we need to all be the same denomination. So we joined the Presbyterian Church, having absolutely no idea what it was, but having this idea of sort of the family being together. So then I went to a Presbyterian seminary and fell in love and married a Methodist. So my wife is a Methodist pastor. My older sister and her husband are Presbyterian pastors. And my little sister went to seminary. A Presbyterian seminary in Iowa, Dubuque Theological Seminary, and she fell in love with a Lutheran who was at the Lutheran seminary across the street. And so they got married, and my little sister became a Lutheran pastor along with her husband. So we have lots of different denominations, and it doesn't make any difference to us.
No, you know, but I don't know. Things have changed. I mean, because when I was going and you're taking the sacraments, I mean, and, you know, my mother had to fight for it because I was baptized a Greek Catholic, Roman
sure.
Catholic now, mind you.
A
no-no. That's how I was baptized, a Greek Catholic. And we're not Greek. It's just that my father went to that church in Detroit, and he knew people there and thought, well,
uh-huh.
let's just bring her here. It was simple. You know, it wasn't
yeah.
even had to jump through hoops. But they did not want to baptize me. They did not want to, give me my first Holy Communion for a Roman Catholic in a Roman Catholic church.
Bad.
That was a no-no. Mm-mm, no.
That's too bad.
Well, I was stupid. And I'm sitting in the hall, Doug, and I'm listening to my mother argue with this Father Gramza was his name.
Well, good
scarier
for her.
Than all get out, as I recall.
Good for her.
You know, and she sat there and she said, I'm not leaving until you tell me. I heard her. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be abandoned from everything. And I wasn't.
We can get lost in all of these.
But you know, he
places.
Was very strict. He was, and that's how they were, Doug, don't you remember?
Yeah.
They were strict years ago. I mean, you had to follow all of these rules. It was dumb.
So much of Christianity, for example, became about the protection of doctrine. And so the building of walls around those things, rather than about the experience of God. And so, you know, that's something I think that people are more interested in today.
Yeah.
And I'm glad for that. And
me too. I am
grateful.
Too. You're right about that. Absolutely right about that. You are. Because it's just not, well, now it's just different. I mean, then if you tried to go up against this and that and all of that, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's a no-no. But now it's so much nicer. There's more freedom. You know, I've had all kinds of people on my shows, you know, from Jerusalem all the way to wherever. And it's been so, and monks, I had two monks on my show. I mean, I have all of these people from all mm-hmm. over, and it's so informative for me and the listeners because it shows you what a variety there is out there. That we're, mm-hmm. you know, we are all the same, but we walk a little different path. That's all. I mean, our beliefs are different maybe, but I've never, ever gotten into an argument with anybody on my show because of what they were trying to say. We just had a meeting of the minds, and, you know, I mean, I love it all. That's all I can tell you. Mm. I do talk to God every day. Sometimes it's not always nice. sometimes it's a dissertation about, now, what did you call what you did yesterday? What was that all about? You know, I'll say that in jest, of course. Mm. Jesus has come to me in my dreams. I saw Jesus when I was taking care of my husband who had Alzheimer's, and I thought I was going to get killed and lose my mind or whatever. Something was going to happen to me. Nothing happened to me. I saw him, and as soon as I saw him, I stopped sobbing. I unlocked the door, walked out that door, and I never cried again. I knew it was like he was saying to me, I've got your back. Don't worry. Just go do it. And I did it, and it wasn't easy. But sometimes we're tested like that. You know, sometimes you know that, and some people are never tested. They'll say, oh, well, I don't believe that. No, well, what do you have to have? Something hit you on the head or what? I don't know. But you've probably encountered people like that they'll, no, there isn't a God.
Lots of people with lots of different experiences and
yeah.
and also different takes on their own experience. So It causes you to not be quick to make judgments about people. People handle things differently.
Mm-hmm. But you see, people like you, and I mean, I'm not a anything. I'm just me. But I understand, and you understand. But not everybody is like that. They really are not, Doug. They are so set in their ways. You could say, well, the sky is blue. No, it's black. Can't you see it's black? Okay, it's black to you, but it's blue to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sometimes people, you cannot turn them. You cannot.
Right.
And it's really sad for them because they're missing out.
Well, you know, I think that to me, Natalie, one of the things that is just very important in a spiritual life is to have some anchors. And that's not the same thing as just turning religious experience into doctrine, but it is part of what made me so interested in the Lord's Prayer.
Yes,
because sometimes we look to ancient, we look to ancient wisdom as a path that can help to teach us how to live, so that we're just not inventing it on the fly, or going to the self-help section in the bookstore, trying to find something with a catchy title or that simply resonates with us. We actually want something that can speak to us, and I've long been interested in the perspective of people from very different places and different times because you want something that isn't just shaped by the fad of the day.
Yep. Exactly. And I have a son who sometimes questions things. And he'll say, "Mom, how is it you believe so strongly?" And I said, "Well, how is it that you don't?" He said, "I know things have happened to you. I know you've been saved a few times. I have. But so has he. One time we were together." And I said, "Well, what do you think that was? Something on the fly that I said, you know, if, and he had all the sacraments too. But you see, he developed in a different way. You know, he'll say, "Well, I don't know if I believe in heaven." Of course, his father passed away, and he said, "I don't know if Dad's up there or not, or where he is, or whatever." I said, "Well, then you're just going to have to wait and see."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the beauty of it, really, don't you think, that everybody has their own idea and their own thought process? I just want you to have some thought process. I just want you to believe in something.
I also want, you know, there have been a lot of people who have walked this path, and I don't want to have to invent everything on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that can be a waste of a lot of time if you
can't learn
from people that you'd recognize as an authority. I used to tell my son, growing up would, you know, he'd do something stupid, and he'd say something like, "Well, at least I learned a good lesson." And, you know, I always knew he was just trying to sort of deflect attention and put a bright face on it. I said, "You know, you don't have enough time in your life to learn all the lessons by your own bad experiences."
that's a bad
way to learn, because while it's impactful, we don't have enough time to learn all the lessons that way.
No.
And so, you know, you want to say, you know, who can I trust, and what perspective can I trust? And I was just struck. You know, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that as children some people learn to say with amazing speed, just sort of racing through it like it was a rabbit's foot or a talisman, as if it just had its own magic about it. And when you look at it closely and carefully, you realize that that it's actually a teaching prayer. It's not a prayer simply for recitation. It's designed to teach us. And so this is what I wrote about. I wrote a book about the seven conversations that God wants us to have. And those are conversations with God, and that's about prayer. They're actually conversations that are valuable to have with other people, too. Because if these are the seven most important conversations to have with God, then they're the seven most important conversations we can have with others, and they can help to build bridges with other people. And they also become seven touchstones for our own life, ways in which we can align ourselves with God, and for ways in which we can actually make a difference with our life.
You say a lot about the Lord's Prayer, which is the only prayer you'll ever need. Now, the critical conversations, my gal wrote up some questions. Now, she says, what are the seven conversations in the prayer?
Well, the first one is something I think that you're probably very interested in, and that's about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The language all through the Lord's Prayer is sometimes difficult for people, but the reason that the particular language is used is that oftentimes it's referring back to some older texts in Scripture and to some other texts. So it's meant to make you think more broadly. But the subjects of the prayer, I think, are these. First, it's about perspective. And that's found with the phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." But actually, even with the beginning, "Our Father who art in heaven," which mm-hmm. is about something personal and intimate in a relationship, a family relationship, together with the sovereign creator of the entire universe. And so you have, and then "Hallowed be thy name" actually invites us to have a perspective that includes the sacred. And not just to think about life in terms of what you can see or touch, but actually that there is more than what we see.
Oh, yeah.
And so the I knew that you'd like that. And
oh,
so
yes.
the prayer
oh, yes.
starts with perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we can pray in our life, and Jesus teaches us, invites us to pray for perspective. Because our perspective diminished, and we can live from too small a perspective. And so that first prayer is about perspective. And that's something that you can pray about, not just to experience and to sense God, but also simply the desire to have a better perspective through your life. I think that these are ambitions. It's not one and done. We pray in an ongoing way for better perspective on relationships, on other people, on the challenges that we face. Because if you can't see things clearly, you're invariably going to make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pray for perspective so that the things that we do can be effective, and we pray for perspective that includes the spiritual and includes God and not simply the stuff, not simply our to-do list.
Right.
So that's the first one.
Yep.
That's the first one. And "Hallowed be thy name." You see that invitation to see and to honor the spiritual and the divine. That's where the prayer begins. So the first one is about perspective. The second one is about hope. And because hope is important, and hoping in the right things is important. Hoping in things that that matter. The third one is about trust and trusting God. And trusting other people and living with trust life. And the fourth one is that those three are prayers of alignment. And they really invite us to say, I need to step into alignment with God, and that involves better perspective, a sense of hope, and a sense of trust. And growing in trust. Those are the three alignments. Now, mostly we want to pray for the things that we want. But that actually comes. That's actually the fourth prayer, a prayer for our life. And right in the middle of the prayer, there's the invitation to pray about the things that are going on in your life. But we don't pray about those things first, because actually, sometimes we need to see our problems differently.
Mm-hmm.
We need a better perspective.
That's right.
We need to embrace a hope. We need to have trust. And so before we pray for the stuff going on in our life and the relationships and all the rest, we pray these first three prayers. But there is in the prayer, and it's a beautiful thing, there's the invitation to pray for what's going on in your life. And because God cares about our experience of life. And then after that, that prayer in the middle, there are three assignments. I call them assignments. And the first one is forgiveness and generosity. Because love is both forgiving and giving. And so that's the first assignment, and that's an impact that we can have with our life on other people. That's how we can make the world a better place.
Exactly.
And then the second assignment is self-awareness, to grow in self-awareness, to come to understand ourselves better, to understand our strengths and our weaknesses, to understand what we may have a particular aptitude for, and also maybe some things that we ought to avoid. And that prayer is found in those words, "Lead us not into temptation," which I think that some people grew up believing, I think many people grew up believing, that that's asking God to refrain from hurting you or taking you into a bad place. And actually, I think the prayer is not born of a suspicion of God, but it's actually a self-awareness. There are things that can break me.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that to God. And you know, we can. I think a terrible prayer is "Bring it on." I think it's better to say, you know, I recognize I can't do everything, but I can do some things, and that self-awareness that also has a humility about it, because we're not the best at everything. That's a part of the assignment. And it can open ourselves to relationships with other people, too. And then the last assignment is gratitude, because that's really the motivation for our best life. Not a sense of inadequacy, not a desire for revenge, but gratitude.
Or jealousy.
Yeah. And so that's an assignment that can see us through. So those are the seven prayers. And I reflecting on these prayers in this way, and then the language of each of the prayers hooks back into biblical stories that reinforce the point of the object of our hope and the nature of the importance of trust. All the petitions of the prayer use language that connects them back into biblical stories. But to see these as these subjects, which we're invited into a conversation with God about, perspective, hope, trust, life, what's going on, generosity and forgiveness, self-awareness, and gratitude.
Also important. They are so important. But you know what? I mean, as we grow from small to an adult, no matter how much you're taught, it's very difficult to follow it every single day. I've been noticing with people that they are really speaking their minds. I don't mind that at all, except don't hurt anybody in the process. This is your belief. This is what you feel. Don't try to shove it on me.
Right.
But people, I don't know if you've noticed this, and I mentioned this last week, they're so argumentative. It's like they've been kept inside the house, and now they're coming out with both barrels. They wanna unload. I don't like that. I understand it's because they're frustrated and they haven't been able to communicate like they were before, They haven't made the adjustment very well because all of this will pass. You and I both know that.
Right. Natalie, one of the things that I was so struck by with the Lord's Prayer is the address, the words all through the prayer, our, lead us not into. In other words, when we pray this individually, we're to pray it with a sense of other people,
mm-hmm.
and of our connection and responsibility to other people. I think that one of the things that sometimes can happen with a spiritual life, even a spiritual life, is it can get disconnected from other people.
Yeah.
And, this prayer is interesting because it uses the plural, our Father.
Right.
Lead us not into temptation.
Right, but deliver us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Deliver yeah. us. Forgive us as we forgive others. So, ultimately, if God is the creator of the universe, if God is all of that, then ultimately it isn't just everybody can invent their own picture. Ultimately, we're interested in a single reality that is actually responsible for all of us and that cares for each of us as well.
Well, I abide by certain things, but I look at people. I really don't say very much. I think it, but I don't say it because I respect people. But I look at people and I just wonder, where in the world are you coming from? Who hit you on the head? I abide by the law, of course. I believe in things like that. Some things I think should be adjusted, changed, but, I'd have to be on the Supreme Justice or Supreme Court or something. But anyways, there are things that people do that just drive me up a wall. I believe in life. Animals, humans, I feed 12 deer every single night.
I saw the pictures.
Yes,
I saw the picture of six.
I had 12 of them. And I said to my son today, you know what? I got to get bigger bulls. And then I have this male, I call him Maximus. He's got a rack on him, Doug. Oh, my God. He puts his head down to feed, and he can barely lift it up. It's so heavy, so big.
Wow.
He does it, though. And I have a camera, and that's where I get these from. And I just said, and I smiled, here they come. Here comes my babies. I have names for them because I value their life. I value them. And I am very much an animal activist. I don't hurt anything. Please don't. I know people have their ways and all of that, but not me. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, we just got a new puppy, so.
Oh, another beautiful life. Look at that.
Yeah. Natalie, I think that, people live with a lot of stress.
Oh, my. You got that
and
right. Yeah.
I don't know, and that's not to say that other generations haven't had enormous challenges, but somehow it seems to have impacted and shaped life to an increasing degree. And I think one of the things it does is it means that we all know, every one of us, you and me, every one of us, we know how to live small.
Mm-hmm.
We can live a small life and not be interested in anything beyond ourselves.
It's necessities. We don't need, there are those like us that don't need big cars, big houses, things. I mean, I, you know, I It's amazing. I mean, when I'm in groups of people, crowds, I actually stand back and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, I'm such an empath that I look at some of them and they make me want to cry because they are dressed barely. I have a little boy across the street who's autistic. I know what that is. And if I see somebody like that, I just want to grab them and say, you know what? You're beautiful. I just want to say something really wonderful to them, but I don't, because you touch them, sometimes they go cuckoo. But I value everything. You do too, don't you? Everything. And where did you see my deer? On Instagram, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
Or Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, I put the thing.
Yeah,
Facebook, I put them everywhere.
Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on Facebook.
You know, I mean, I 5 o'clock, I prepare their food. I put their deer food, really good nourishing calcium and all the good stuff in. And then I cut up apple, and I cut up carrots. And my one friend said, well, do you peel the apple? No, I don't peel the apple. I don't have to do that, because they were making fun of me. I said, no. I said, do you do it at all? No. Okay, I said, then shut up.
Well, they obviously have let other deer know that this is a great place to come, right, to your
this
house.
This is our haven. Well, you know, it's funny. I started off, this has been going on since July, but the herd has gotten a lot bigger. And I think you're right about that. They say, you know, probably the word gets, you know, word gets around, if you want to call it word. You got to go over here because she takes good care of us. And they know by your scent.
Hmm.
They know. And when I'm outside, it's usually dark. I'm calling them by their names. Okay, come on, Willow. Come on, Lily. Come on, girls. Maximus, where are you? I mean, come on. Food is here. And within about 15 or 20 minutes, and I know where they come from, I know they're in the woods and they're waiting. Okay, that's the signal. Come on, let's go. And they clean it up. There is nothing left, not one crumb left.
Right.
And it makes me feel
you know,
so good that this is something that I'm supposed to be doing, and I get such joy out of it. And I know God is watching and thinking, look and see what Natalie's doing here.
Yeah. And so spirituality isn't just about somewhere else, something else. It also touches right here where we live.
Right.
And how we live because God created the heavens and the earth. And so God cares about this place and about how we live this chapter of our life.
Yep, and what worries me, like for the deer, is that because I'm getting so many, I'm wondering, because they tell you, do not stop feeding them when the weather turns cold. Because like here, well, you know, in South Carolina, things, I mean, it doesn't get bad here, but I mean, there's very little green for them to take, to eat. So they have to, things on the ground and stuff. And I got to talking to this guy in the tractor and feed place, and he said, you know, I'm going to tell you you're amazing. I said, why? He says, because usually people stop, and they don't realize, you know, they're coming to see you. They're coming there. My son says they probably look in your door well. I have a cat, and you can bet my cat is sitting there waiting for them. Oh, here they come, you know.
Well, we have deer that have eaten all of our outdoor plants.
Of course, they will.
And we had a baby born out in our front yard.
Oh,
and
I'm hoping I have one.
So they've made themselves very comfortable here. But, you know, part of it is just recognizing that this story that we live in is bigger than just my own life. And even nature can remind us of that, right?
It does. And it brings me such joy. besides my granddaughter and my son, my daughter-in-law, my very dear friend, and the friends and people all over the world that I have. You should see the emails that I get. And I know I'm doing the right thing. I know it. I don't question it at all, and I never tire of it either. This is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do. Mm. And when something gives you joy like that, Doug, you know you're doing the right thing. I mean joy inside. I don't mean doing something harmful that can bring you joy. It's an enlightenment. It's hard to explain. But people say to me, well, how is it you're like the way you are? I said, well, I can tell you one thing. It didn't come from when I was a little girl. It didn't come from going to Catholic church all the time, going to the church. It didn't. I was above all that. I just, no. And I just know that there's more to it than just that. There's more to it.
Well, you know, sometimes experiences in our life can plant some seeds of deeper reality, right? And
well, they can.
So we can learn the forms of things. And then later we come to understand what it is that form was actually trying to was trying to hold. And so we recognize, okay, you know, I was focused on the wrong part of this. Just like with the Lord's Prayer, I mean, most people say it. Just sort of with an automatic roteness. And I think that it is really extraordinary, an extraordinary invitation.
Well, you know, life can be so complicated. I know. You know, I give of myself a lot. I would eat tuna every day just to feed those deer or for my granddaughter. That's what I would do. And I'm not being, I'm not a martyr by any stretch of the imagination. It's just I'm telling you these are my values. And, you know, my son said, well, what if somebody comes on your property? I said, first of all, it's private pet property. They better not show up with a gun or a bow and arrow. Because I have a police officer that lives right next door. I will have them arrested in a heartbeat. That's why I do everything at night. And my son said, well, don't you want them to come during the day? I said, no. I want them to keep coming at night. They're protected at night. And I'm going to keep protecting them. And I'm just using the deer as an example. I mean, they're mammoth. They're
huge.
And I'm just telling everybody about life. There's something
I think, you know, we're meant to live in relationship, and there's a relationship with nature too, isn't there?
What did you think when you saw that deer?
I thought about the deer in our own yard. We have a buck that has broken off one rack.
Oh, okay.
And he was protecting a little doe, stood right outside my front door, and stared me down, and then started pawing the ground with one paw.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that.
Like he was going to charge, and I didn't want a horn in my backside, so I just went into the house. Because,
that's right.
You know, with his rack broken like that, it was very clear that he was not reluctant to make a charge.
Right. Now, this one I have another one, but his is not as big as Maximus. His is, they're smaller. One, you know, my son looked at him and he said, oh, my God, where did he come from? Well, they're probably 5 years old or so.
Wow.
At least. Wow. And he's very mature. But, you know, if you sit and watch, and this is about life, if you sit and watch them, like I know them now, that big female. She's the alpha. She stands there with all of them around eating, and she's got her head stretched, and she's tall. She's got her, she is looking around. Don't be coming near my girls.
You know, and they can fill us to, I mean, whether to study a bird or an animal or even a flower, it can fill us with a sense of wonder that there is something created beyond us and outside of us that we had nothing to do with that is absolutely extraordinary and magnificent.
It is.
And that sense of wonder is something that can be one of the things that pulls us into a bigger perspective and can pull us out of just self-absorption and draw us into joy.
Right. Sometimes, though, and I don't know if it happens to you, Doug, is that, you know, you're very giving and so am I and spiritual and all of that, but you do and do and do. Does it ever get you tired? Do you ever think, ah, how much more do I have to do of this? But you know, I always say it's like having a sheet of paper, pluses and minuses. To me, you better have that plus side filled with check marks because you're going to get up to the pearly gates and you have some explaining to do. That's why I always tell people, I always say that. Because that means you have not done enough good in your life on earth. You need to keep doing good work. Not bad work, good work. You and I have done that. And even as a little girl, you know, I mean, I've done things. I mean, there's so many stories I could tell people. I didn't even know it. It was just instinct. I just did it because I felt it, which is really kind of nice. Nobody had to tell me right or wrong. I knew. It's okay. But I want to remind people, you have a site here, too. We keep going off the deep side. You keep talking about my deer and all that stuff, and I don't mean to do that, because you do have this book called The Only Prayer You'll Ever Need, Unleashing Your Best Life. A beautiful book. Why did you put it in red? I have that question. Why is it in red?
You know, I thought, you know, it's not the only prayer you can pray.
Yeah,
but it's
true.
The only prayer you'll ever need. So sometimes we pray in emergencies.
Oh, we do.
And,
that's true. We do.
And so I put it in red, like a fire extinguisher. Or so many things that are red that fire trucks, ambulances, think about the way in which it's a color for an emergency.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not the only prayer you can pray. You can pray lots of prayers, but this is the only prayer you'll ever need because it's one that Jesus taught when his disciples said, teach us how to pray, and this is the one he taught them. So that's why it's got a red cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
and I've got a website.
Ever that?
No, not at all. I've also got a website, Natalie, that
yes, you do. It's called DouglasFletcher.com. D-O-U-G-L-A-S.
No, Douglas K. Fletcher.
K.
My middle initial.
F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R.com. Yes, you do. I have it on my screen. Yes, it's got about the book, buy the book, reviews. You have a blog. Do you do the blog often or...
I need to do another. But it is something that I'm doing. Yes, there's a blog as well, and there's also some discussion guides for reflection further on these seven things on the seven principles of prayer.
Mm-hmm. I see. I see you've got this study guide. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yep, I'm on it. I got it. I'm quick. Yep, got it. It discusses, are these all the chapters in the book? Is that what this is?
No, but they're the seven the seven yes. prayers. The book actually ends with listening. Because for a conversation, it isn't just speaking; it's also listening.
True.
And one of the things that I argue in the chapter on listening is that God is already speaking into your life, already, and that the problem that we have is listening and creating space to hear. And so that's one of the challenges, too, not just articulating the things that we want, also listening.
Well, you're a beautiful person. I'm sure your lovely wife is as well. You and I just kind of rambled on here because we speak to, you speak it one way and I kind of speak it the other way, maybe more like a layman, I want to say. I don't know. I have to tell you, too, when the nuns stopped wearing their garments, that's when things changed. I didn't like it. Same thing with nurses. When they stopped wearing white, something changed. I didn't like that either.
So you're in favor of good habits?
Yes, I am. I am. I mean, you know, they were like the wrath. I mean, they would come walking up and down by the desks, and I think, oh, everybody was petrified of them. And then I realized later, much later, they're just women, you know, wearing
yeah.
a habit.
yeah.
And but I, you know, you get this conception of things. Isn't it strange that you could actually, I can see how people are brainwashed. I can see it. It really can happen to you. I mean, they put the fear in everybody. And I'm sitting there, I was thinking to myself, why should I be afraid? This is supposed to be a wonderful thing. And you're making me be afraid. See, I questioned all that when I was 8 years old. They didn't know it, though, but I, don't do that to people. That's not right. But I have enjoyed this so much. I love talking things of this nature because it's so important in the world. And, you know, sometimes most of the discussions that I have with authors are very, not serious. I mean, we do laugh. But you are extraordinary. You really are. I was looking for it. I was hoping you were going to show up because I didn't have
well,
your email
address.
Well,
it's been fun to visit with you, Natalie.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I really am. Are you going to write another book? That's my last question.
I hope so. I hope
you
so.
You must.
I've been thinking about it. I have.
Okay, I'll accept that. You've been thinking about it. You
yeah.
must. You have to.
Well, thank you.
Well, you have to keep getting the word out there, Doug. I do it by having all these people on my show and with my magazine, and you have to keep getting the word out. You just have to.
Well, thank
so you
for
have
that
a great you have a great evening, and I'm so glad we connected. I said to my gal Jackie, I said, God, I hope he shows up. God, I hope he shows up. Because, and I said, well, I'm going to be there, so we'll just see what happens. And see, it's called divine order, right?
Yep.
Yep. See that? Okay, well, you're going to love how I end the show. I have another show this Wednesday, but I end all my shows in the same way, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And that goes with everything. That goes with the angels, with God, with Jesus. And if you want to re-listen to the show, this is all recorded. I will send this. I mean, are you in contact with your publicist, this new one that you have now? What is her name is? I got to look her up. You know, Grace. Her name is Grace. She took Leslie's place. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I will send this to her, the link of the show, and my gal Candy will push it out, and I'm going to do it as soon as the show's over. I start with Twitter, and then we take it from there, and everybody can listen to it and get something from it, and I hope they enjoyed it. And I enjoyed having you on my show. It was just uplifting, let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. It's been fun. I've enjoyed
awesome.
It, too.
And watch for my deer, because I have more coming your way.
Oh, all right.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Bless you.
Yeah, bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. It's the end of the show. The next one will be on Wednesday. It's an early one, 9 o'clock. This gal is in the UK. So her name is Paulina, and we'll have another great show as usual. So with that, I'm going to say, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Love to all. Bye-bye.